I invite you to the text from Hebrews this week. If you have a Bible or have one close to you, find Hebrews 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4, and then I'm going to skip to chapter 2 and start with chapter 2, verse 5. Or if you'd rather just listen, then I invite you to listen to these words for the word of the Lord. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us by a Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, through whom also He created the worlds. He is the reflection of God's glory and the exact imprint of God's very being. And He sustains all things by His powerful word. When He had made purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. Now, skipping. God did not subject the coming world about which we are speaking to angels. But someone has testified somewhere, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them, or mortals that you care for them? You have made them only a little lower than the angels. You have crowned them with glory and honor, subjecting all things under their feet. Now, in subjecting all things to them, God left nothing outside their control. As it is, we do not yet see everything in subjection to them, but we do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God, He might taste death for everyone. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today is World Communion Sunday. Every hour of the day, people of faith will be coming to the table of Christ, where they celebrate His redeeming gift of love. We come to the sacrament of Holy Communion with Christians around the planet, never alone. We know that there are people coming to that table today in places of hope and places of persecution, places of joy and some of horror. But in every place, hope is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the pioneer of salvation spoken of in this reading from Hebrews. He is the gift of grace that we celebrate at the table. He is, as we know, the light of the world. The light of the world and the imprint of God's very blessing. In Psalm 8, everything is placed under the control of the creatures. That's what Brittany read for us earlier. I sometimes wonder if placing everything under the control of the creatures was the best idea. because we have kind of made a mess of things in creation. We think we own it, when really what we don't understand is the concept of stewardship. We talk about stewardship in the church, and it usually means giving. It usually means giving of your resources to support the work of the kingdom of Christ. But stewardship is a larger word than that. It's a word that claims that we are stewards or caretakers of the entire creation. It's not just about giving money or resources, but it's about care of all that the earth is to us, all that God has given to us. No, not given to us, but given to our care. The earth is not ours. It's borrowed. In fact, it's borrowed from God. In a way, it's borrowed from our future. Borrowed from God, to be sure. And I was taught when I was very young to take better care, even better care of something that's borrowed than I would if it was my own. Because someone else had a share in it. God has made Jesus the pioneer of our salvation, the one through whom God's ultimate grace would be made real, the one through whom hope would be offered. God, the source of all, has cared to create you and me in all our uniqueness. And some of us really are one of a kind. To give all of us the responsibility to make the world better and to love and redeem us even when we don't. Thanks to the pioneer of salvation, we are related through our Lord Jesus Christ. We are brothers and sisters with Jesus, and we are brothers and sisters in Jesus. We dare to call Him our brother and friend. We adults have made this way too complicated. What would it take to simplify understanding so that we could accept God's grace like a child? Just simply smile and be thankful. To not work so hard trying to earn it or deserve it. Both of those are a little ridiculous, as you know. To think that we could deserve God's grace. If we did, really then, would it be grace? Or would it just be getting what we deserve? What would it be like if we could learn to just accept grace as a gift and then out of pure joy work as hard as we can to give it back or work to pass it on? Next Sunday we celebrate Children's Sabbath. In the gospel lesson for today, which we did not read, where people were bringing their children to Jesus so that He would bless them, the disciples wanted to prevent them. It even says the disciples scolded them. But Jesus said, "Allow the children to come to me. Don't prevent them, because God's kingdom belongs to people like these children." Belong is an interesting word. The word belong, we think of it as ownership, and we talk about that belongs to me or that belongs to my family. What we talk about the word belonging as a word that says ownership. But the other side of using that word is to say we belong to God, or we belong to Christ. And in that sense, we're giving away ownership. We're letting go of ownership and trusting our well-being, our life, our ministry, our time and talents to Christ. We belong to Christ. It is an act of will to give ourselves and to recognize that Christ's kingdom is worthy of every sacrifice that we could make. We think of the word belong as a sense of ownership. It's when a man's billfold is found, the question is asked, who does this wallet belong to? Of course, you could open it up, and most likely the truth would be revealed by a name on the driver's license or some other ID card in the wallet. It's a little different with a purse. A purse is personal space. You just don't dig into a woman's purse because you just never know what you might find. But if you do open it, you might have to look a little harder just for the size of it compared to a billfold. But you could probably, if you looked hard enough, still find a way to identify the person to whom it belongs. In the same way as billfolds and purses belong to someone, Jesus says the kingdom of God belongs to these children. It's the mark of identity. We will be repeating this next Sunday at the Children's Sabbath. But the word belong here is not so much about ownership, like a purse or a wallet, as it is about responsibility. The kingdom of heaven cannot be realized by ownership as much as by participation. Instead of owning it, we allow ourselves to be owned by God and to be used willingly in the life of that kingdom and that work. So this kind of belonging, when we say we belong to God, is more about receiving than it is about having. It's about receiving God and about giving of ourselves to God. Jesus said, whoever does not welcome, then that means to receive the gift of the kingdom of God like a child, will never enter it. Whoever does not welcome it or receive it like a child will never enter it. And then Jesus hugged the children and blessed them. It's no wonder we like to be called children of God, because Jesus hugs the children and welcomes them and blesses them. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Hugged by Jesus and welcomed by Him. But the words are hard to hear for crusty adults and independent people who have gone through a lot and have our defenses up. But Jesus says, whoever doesn't welcome the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. It's hard to be vulnerable. But with words like those saying we'll never enter it, it's hard not to be vulnerable and figure out a way to welcome Christ and to belong to Christ. Vulnerable children deserve to be protected and loved and hugged and taught. But they do have so much to teach us. Jesus, the pioneer of salvation, took time to defend them, to hug them, and to bless them. It gives me joy that we get to celebrate our children next Sunday on Children's Sabbath. But it gives me even more joy that there are enough scriptural examples of Jesus blessing the children that we have that in the text for today as well. That's probably why we all like to be called children of God. Jesus' gift for each child, you and me, is the gift of hope. That no matter what happens to us in this life, we know that in the life to come, we shall become more and more like Him and be loved by Him beyond any way that any of us could imagine. Now, we have only a small glimpse of that when we show Jesus' love to one another, especially to a child. So Jesus did not say, that children belong to the kingdom of God. Let me say that again. Jesus did not say that children belong to the kingdom of God. Sounds like heresy, doesn't it? That would have made sense, and some people probably still hear it that way and understand it that way, but Jesus did not say that children belong to the kingdom of God. He said the kingdom of God belongs to the children. What a difference. And if that's not enough, he assured his disciples that whoever does not welcome God's kingdom like a child welcomes it will never enter it. So, today we get to come to the Lord's table. And we come not alone. Oh yes, there are others in this room who will be kneeling beside you. But you may kneel beside the Spirit of the risen Lord. You may kneel beside the spirit of someone in a war-torn country that is taking a great risk to go to church today. You may be kneeling beside the spirit of one like that from a place where being a Christian is against the law and where Christians are persecuted. You may be kneeling beside the spirit of a dear grandparent or parent. You may be kneeling beside your grandchildren who are 1,000 miles away. Today is about spirit and entering into the spirit. In this day, we recognize that Christian people are gathered all over the globe in every time zone today. You can think about it this afternoon when the clock strikes 1 and 2 and 3 and when the football game starts at 7 tonight. You can think about the fact that in every time zone today, Christian people will be kneeling at the table and sharing the gift of the Spirit of Christ. How neat is that? How wonderful is that? We have that in common. And on World Communion Sunday, we should focus on it. It's true all the time. But on World Communion Sunday, it should be our aim to understand that we are part of something very much larger than we could even imagine. Not only those who are alive now who physically will be at the table today around the planet, but those from the past and from the future, all the saints. We call that the communion of the saints. When we say that, I believe in the communion of the saints, we are affirming those who have gone before and those who will come after us when we are gone. That may not be something you like to think about, but life and faith go on. We talk about Jesus in terms of present tense, but Jesus has been around for eternity, and it's now 2 millennia, 2,000 years since Jesus walked and talked and taught as a human being with skin on. And yet, we speak of Him as real, and people come to church to share in His Spirit and to kneel beside Him at the communion table. That's the communion of the saints, and it's the same with those others whom we have loved and have yet to love. So, we come to the table from all over this planet, linked in spirit and in sacrament, disciples of every nation and every time zone, some gathered in large groups publicly, some gathered in secret places behind closed doors out of fear of persecution, and all of them, and us, nurtured by the Father God whose kingdom spans across the centuries and the time zones to the history and to the future. Let us come into His presence and receive His gift. For the sense of our need and for God's love and care and teaching, we are all God's children.